Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, it's Todd Tomasella with Safeguard Your Soul Radio, and Brother Travis Bryan III is on the line. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Todd.
You wrote a piece recently that we're going to talk about today that is just amazing. I love this bulleted format, Brother Travis. You put together this message to overview of the principle of the cross. An overview, it's 13 bulleted items, a real blessing. It's every believer that's been listening to this program over the last few months, and many who I've talked to, is becoming more and more infected by this central message of Christ's cross and the one he and his apostles commanded us to take up ourselves on a daily basis. And this is really going to further that revelation, continue to instill it in our lives. The first one, he said, is very short and simple, and that's so important. Christ died for us, and we died with him. We died with him. Now, you referenced Romans chapter 6, verse 2 through 7. Would you like me to read that?
Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. Romans 6, 2 through 7. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Brother Travis?
Todd, Jesus lived and demonstrated this cross-centered life. And then after he died and rose, he downloaded this truth of the cross to be explained through the Apostle Paul. The Pauline epistles is where you find the explanation of the fullness of the cross message. And of course, this passage in Romans here in Romans 6 is absolutely central to that understanding. And we're not talking about water baptism here in Romans 6. We're talking about a spirit baptism into the death of Christ, being put down. Your old man is crucified with Christ, your old self, and you're raised up, Todd, as a new creation. Now, for all of my first 40 years of my Christian life, all I knew was that Christ died for me, the first part of this point one here, bullet point one.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with just knowing that, Todd, is that it leaves you in a selfish condition, and you do not see your new identity in Christ. You do not see your new position in Christ. You don't understand your need to be transformed from an old creation person into a new creation person. And the second half of that line is all important, because then when you understand you died with Christ, that takes away the selfish life, Todd. So the full gospel is absolutely Christ died for us and our sins are forgiven. But we must go forward and learn this second part, which is we died with him. Our old self died with Christ at Calvary, Todd.
Amen. And saints, let me encourage you to camp out in it. Pour over the passage we read in Romans chapter 6, because it's clear that we are to consider ourselves completely dead in this world, dead and buried, and it's only then that the resurrection power of Christ, Christ himself, who is the resurrection and the life, John 11:25, can raise us up in this new life, in the victory that God intends, which can't come outside of the cross of Christ. Now, Brother Travis, you also put in here 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, Paul says, for the love of Christ
constrains or compels us,
because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth or but from here on, live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Amen. Our lives in this world, saints, to be for the glory of God. And in order for that to happen, we must be crucified with Christ. We must participate daily in the death and burial of Christ, and he will cause there to be the resurrection of his life in our lives to bring glory to him. Now, Brother Travis, on the second point of this bulleted overview of the principle of the cross, you stated in here that it says, we died and rose into a new position, a new environment, and became part of the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that we're new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God. They're not to be of us, but of God. And the third point, brother, you may want to comment on this. It says, having arrived at our new position, we still need to be saved, sanctified, and transformed from our old selves into a new man, or a new creation person. Example of the man who has moved from Cuba to America and been given a house, a driver's license, money in the bank, and he still does not understand American law, language, culture, or how to live as an American. Not anymore, as he's, because he's not a Cuban anymore, he's an American. He must go through some things to come to a new way of thinking that is totally foreign to him. You want to talk about that, brother, that analogy of a Cuban moving to America and having to learn about American life?
Yes, this is an effort to try to show in common terms what this transfer is through the cross, that when we die with Christ, and only when we realize our death with Christ, we are raised up, ascended, and seated with Christ in heaven, in heavenly places. Now, that's an astounding truth, Todd, that is here in point two, that, you know, most of Christianity is trying to get to heaven someday. And the fact, if you are a true Christian, you're already in heaven. In your spirit, which is one of our three parts of humans, we're tripartite beings, spirit, soul, and body. Spiritually, Todd, we're already in heaven. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are saints. And this begins to give you a new identity, a new perspective, and to realize this has already been done. I have arrived in heaven, positionally at least, now. And that has a transforming effect on a person to realize their new identity and their new position in Christ, Todd. And so in point three, I demonstrate that with this example, which is poor, I agree, but it's the best I can come up with, that when you move a man from Cuba to America, let's just say the president signs an order making John Doe a American citizen and sends a plane for him and transfers him from Cuba in, lands in America, and is awarded a new house, money in the bank, and a car. So we have identification papers. We have a driver's license. We are an American. We have a new position in America, and that's similar to our new position in Christ. But we can't stop there, because the Cuban must learn to think like an American. His thinking is foreign to American ways. He doesn't know the laws. He doesn't know the language. He doesn't know the culture. He doesn't know how to live in America as an American. He's there. He has his position and all of his rights, but he doesn't know how to live in that. So we have to be transformed, Todd. Just because we have a new position is not the end of the story. We've got to continue to die and rise with Christ daily and receive a new mind, Todd, a new way of thinking. And in the case of the Cuban, things have to happen to him for him to learn this, kind of in the school of hard knocks, how to be an American, Todd. And we have to learn the Christian life. And it's only learned, you only learn Christ through the cross, Todd. That is the great doorway into Christ-like, a Christ-like mind.
Amen, brother. In fact, the scripture teaches us in Ephesians 2:19 that we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, this is the same chapter, and not far after, he said, we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Saints, I want to draw your attention to the book of Ephesians, just a paramount book for worship, the walk, and the warfare of the Christian life. It naturally divides pretty much that way, 2:2 and 2, the sixth chapter book of Ephesians. But we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we are that man who's moved from Cuba to America, having put off the old man, Ephesians 4, and now putting on daily the new man. Brother Travis, that comes through the daily cross, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and I totally agree with your comment on Ephesians. It may be the highest book in the Bible. It's a resurrection book, and again, Galatians is a cross book, Ephesians is a resurrection book, Philippians is a cross book, and Colossians is a resurrection book, because Ephesians and Colossians mostly talk about our high position in Christ. And, you know, Paul uses all these great metaphors to tell us what's happened when we're baptized into the death of Christ, raised up in this newness of life. He uses the metaphor of family, that we're a member of the family of God. We're members of the house of God. So family, house. Then he talks about us as soldiers and our weapons in chapter 6. So we're in a military army, so to speak. And there's so many of these good metaphors, and you mentioned a couple too. The book of Ephesians shows us our new creation position, Todd, but that cannot be arrived at, and it can't be experienced every day except through the cross.
Amen. And that's a great blessing that we get to experience the reciprocating resurrection life of Christ on a daily basis. Saints, I warn you once again that if you begin to learn this cross, as many of you are learning and have learned, you're going to testify that there is a life of Christ, a teeming in you and there through you also, that is second to none. And it can be, I warn you, it can be addicting. Now, Brother Travis, on that note that you made a minute ago, Ephesians 4:23, before we go to this next point, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And then it tells you what to put away and put off. Just like Colossians 3, put on the new man, put off old man. The only way to put off the old man, Saint, is to let the cross divide between spirit and flesh, to bring the crucified condition, the evil deeds of the body, if you will. Some people deny that we have a sinful nature, which is a ridiculous error. We do have one. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't tell us to put it off every day. He would be a lunatic to tell us to put off something that doesn't exist. And anybody who's honest with Scripture and their own tendency toward evil can easily adhere to that and understand it. And so that's why the cross comes in, to get us out of the way so Jesus Christ can reign. It's pretty simple. Now, Brother, the fourth point, speaking of experientially, as you did a moment ago, said experientially must die and rise with Christ daily, and also be daily born again into a renewed mind. Through suffering, daily repentance, and contrition, we must put off the old man and the old nature and put on the new man and the new nature. And you've got some of the scripture we just read, and also Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God." Also, you have 1 Corinthians 15:31, which says, "I die daily." And we've talked about that. And then number 5, suffering. He uses it always for a good purpose, like cleansing, pruning, sanctification, and transformation. The cross is key to all mysteries. God did not cause his Son to suffer and die. Satan did. But God used Satan's own actions to defeat him. Satan always defeats himself. God wins battles by indirect, not direct power. Satan is thus caught in his own snare. He is taken in his own craftiness and falls into the pit that he digs. Satan brings the fire of God's wrath, a fire which destroys the unbeliever, but saves the believer. Would you like to speak to that, Brother Trapp?
Yeah, I should have said saves and sanctifies the believer there in that last point. But back to verse, to point 4, Todd, you know, for the first 40 years of my Christian life, I tried through human effort to put off conduct that I knew was wrong. And I did not understand the truth of the cross, which is that you can't put off conduct, but you can, through the cross, put off the very nature that leads to conduct. So when you put off that old nature, you are putting off everything that is rooted in that old nature and all of the manifestations of the flesh. When you put off a nature, you're putting off everything that nature causes, which is conduct, bad conduct. And so you're never going to be able to try through human effort to change your conduct. It's not possible. The Bible makes it clear. But when you die with Christ, there is a putting off of the old man nature, the old self, the sin nature is put off both positionally. You put off Adam. You're in Adam. In Adam all die. But when you are transferred out of Adam into Christ, into the new creation, you have put off Adam. It's like a branch of a tree that's been cut away from a wild olive tree and grafted into a cultivated olive tree. But here's the problem. That branch has come over and been grafted in, but that branch still has that old nature in it. So internally, the processes of the tree, the metabolism of the tree, the sap in the tree has got to work in that new branch. That branch has come over to change the nature internally of that branch. And so this passage in Ephesians 4:22-24 is an experiential verse that tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That the mind is where this putting off takes place. This old way of thinking, the old ruts in your mind, even the good things you've been taught many times have to be put off, Todd, so that you can arrive at this new identity, new way of thinking, new way of looking at the world, new way of being looked at by the world. And this changes your conduct when you put off the old man and put on the new, Todd. Suffering has to happen for this to occur. And of course, Satan brings all suffering. God allows it because God has a great purpose in mind, transformation. And through the suffering that we undergo, even our own failures, God is able to bring us to the point of gradually putting off this old nature thinking, Todd, and we're renewed. That means we receive a new spirit in our mind, and that's a daily thing. We have to be born again every day, Todd. We're killed every day, and we're born again every day, and gradually over time, our mind is turned upside down to the way it used to be, and we can live for God because now we have a Christ-like mind, Todd.
Amen. As Paul puts it, transformed by the renewing of our mind. I believe that's Ephesians 4, as we read earlier, and the mindset of the cross. God calls us, each of us, without fail, without exception, to participate in the gospel daily, the death and burial, that Christ might be raised up in our lives and rule and reign and demonstrate his love to the world around us. And this is the key to ministry, saints, is being dead and buried, and God's going to raise us up. You know, a lot of people try to, because of the absence of the cross message, go to Travis. We see a lot of different schemes and that. They're probably most of them very well-meaning. I was listening to a pastor on the radio for a minute yesterday, and it reminded me about how much you see this kind of gimmicky thing in the modern church where people are talking about becoming a radical for Jesus and all this. Well, you know, I guess you could observe that would be to some degree a biblical principle, but that's the way to get to be becoming someone who's used of God, a radical, I guess you could call it, is not by trying to be a radical. It's by denying yourself, taking the cross and following Jesus. And then Paul says death, as it works in you, is going to cause life to work through you into the lives of other people. 2 Corinthians 4:10-12. Otherwise, Brother Travis, we're trying to do the ministry of God in our own strength. And that just is not going to happen. It's not going to be fruitful.
No, it's not. And Todd, it's not what we do. It's how we respond to what happens to us. Salvation is something that happens to the person. It's not something he does. I mean, that's all important right there. It's when you are taken into a storm, and Jesus did lead his disciples right into storms for this purpose. And storms are caused by Satan. High winds and high waves, that's part of Satan's weaponry. But we're asked to go out into that. Step out into adversity. Step out into perilous situations. Step out into persecution. All these things that Satan throws at us, and the key to getting through that is faith, Todd. That's all you've got in the midst of that storm, faith. That's why Paul emphasizes faith so much, because human effort won't get you through a storm. You're helpless and hopeless, and you know it. But when you faith through these cross events, these unfair things, these oppositional and adverse things that happen to us, we come out dead, then resurrected, Todd, and our mind is a crucified and raised up mind, which is entirely, radically different mind from the old mind that you had before these cross events happen in your life, Todd.
Amen, brother. And help the ask the Lord, I should say, to instill this deep into your being. It's unfortunate that this message is almost never heard in the modern church, and so people are left to their own devices, try to perform for God, as Brother Travis spoke earlier, and try to overcome sin in the flesh, which is not going to happen. That's part of my personal testimony, Brother Travis, says years ago, I tried to wrestle with certain sins I had committed or were committing or struggling with like a bull by the horns. That just never worked and never will work. God wants to get down into the nature of who we are and crucify that old nature, that old man, and let the new nature of Christ, the one who made us a new creation, reign in our lives. Brother, you talked about in the 12th point here, these 13 bullets, under transformation through the cross, faith is all important. 2 Corinthians 4:13-14. The only way a person can survive and be transformed by the cross is by faithing, faith, F-A-I-T-H-I-N-G, faithing through the cross experience. Good works, human effort, and law will not get you through an event where you are suffering and or dying with Christ. When the storms of life hit you, faith is your only mode of step. We've got 90 seconds. For that reminds me of when Jesus' disciples were on the ship panicking while he's in the bottom of the boat sleeping. What do you say, brother?
Exactly. Oh, exactly right, Todd. Let me go back just for a moment and comment on what you said in the first part of your statement there. And that is that you spent some time in your life trying to get it done and failing. But Todd, that is a common, I would say, the average experience that we all go through that, where we, and Paul went through it. Romans 7 makes it clear, the things I want to do, I can't do. Things I don't want to do, I do. I found that evil was present with me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin and death? That's a man going through exactly what you did, and I did too, trying to live for God in his own effort. And you really have to go through that, and people have to have that failure. But God teaches you through your failure that the way we come to Christ is not by getting it right, it's by getting it wrong. And then we learn right through our own failures, Todd, and inability to pull it off on our own. The human just can't understand that until he experiences it, Todd.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered scripture rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world, and may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.